Psalm 130. And let's begin by reading the entire psalm. And let's notice how many times it says, Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? We come together on Sundays and Wednesdays to worship the Lord. That's the thing I've been hoping for and praying for this morning. I pray that we would worship the Lord this morning. You know, it's not a feeling, and although we want to feel His presence, and I just hope we worship the Lord this morning. I hope we glorify His name and worship Him. We're here to hear what He has to say through His Word. And we're here to say hear what He has to say about our souls is what we're here for. And we hope it's good news. I want to begin by telling you two accounts that I read connected with Psalm 130. These were wonderful accounts. The first one was about a man named Thomas Guthrie. And I'd never heard of either one of these men. But it said that he visited a town once and was sent to the local inn for lodging. And a man was there at that inn who was dying. He was dying of something. It was his last hours. And the priest had been called to administer the last rites to this man. And Mr. Guthrie saw all of this happen. He was sitting there watching all this happen. After the priest left, he walked up to that man and he asked him, "Do you feel that you now have peace with God?" And the man said, "No, sir, I don't. I don't feel that I have peace, and I don't feel that I have hope." The account said that Mr. Guthrie talked to him about the mercy and forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, and he took him to Psalm 130. And it said, as he talked to him about the free grace in Christ, the man's face lightened, and his heart rejoiced. And it said, like the eunuch of old, he received the gospel and believed on the Son of God. Then it said Mr. Guthrie went to his room and wrote a letter to his wife stating, "My dear, I have witnessed a miracle this day. I found a man in the state of nature, dead and dying. I saw him in a state of grace, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And I left him in a state of glory. Oh, how great is the mercy of our God to the chief of sinners. He said, pray for me that our Lord will let me be the bearer of good news to the guilty, of mercy for the miserable, and salvation for sinners. He said, I have no other desire but to win Christ and be found in Him, and to be His ambassador to tell others of what I've seen and heard." Another account said a man named James Vaughn who it said was often quoted by Spurgeon. Spurgeon liked this man. He called Psalm 130 the progress or the progression of the soul. He said, just as a barometer marks the progress of the weather, so does this psalm, sentence by sentence, record the progress of the redeemed soul. He said, we should ask ourselves as we read each line, first, have I ever been there? Have I ever been there? Verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Have I ever been there? Second thing he said we should ask ourselves is, have I felt and experienced this truly? Verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Have I truly ever gotten a hold of that? The third thing he said we should ask ourselves is, do I know this to be true? Verse 4 says, there is forgiveness with thee. Do I know that that's true? The fourth thing he said is this my rock and my refuge? Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. Is His Word truly, in time of need, my rock and my refuge? Because it's not for most people. And the fifth thing he said is, do I truly now wait and hope in the Lord? Do I really? This is the progress of the redeemed soul, he said. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now in Genesis 2 verse 7, the Lord said that He formed man of the dust of the ground. He made man out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God gave life and man became a living soul. And now in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, when this earthly life is over, verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit, or the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. God made man from the dust, and He breathed the soul into him. And when it's over, the dust is going back to the dust, and the soul is going back to God who gave it. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the Lord God said, behold, all souls are mine. Every single soul is mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth is going to die. When the Lord God reveals to a sinful soul, you've sinned. And now here's your wages. These are the wages of your sin. When the Lord reveals that, it causes the soul to do something. If God performs a work on a soul, this is going to be the response. Back in our text, Psalm 130, verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried. Out of the depths have I cried. That is what the soul is going to do. It's going to cry. It causes a deep, 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 true, honest, heartfelt conviction over sin. Not just lip service. It's something down deep. It's something honest. A deep, deep, out of the depths have I cried. Turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 12, David says, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. I just can't even look up. I'm just ashamed. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart fails me. My heart stops. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Please, Lord, please deliver me. It's low. It's deep. The depths have I cried. Out of the depths am I crying of my conviction. True, deep conviction. Out of the depths of my pride, I'm getting a hold of my pride in myself. It's deep. It's deep. Out of the depths of my evil thoughts and my covetousness, it's deep. It's honest and deep. Out of the depths of my doubts and my fears and my unbelief. Out of the depths of my pain and my sorrow and my depression, it causes a true depression. That's what it causes. Loneliness. This is all me. And it's all because of my sin. That's why I'm where I am. I'm thinking about my sin. And it's because of my sin that I'm crying. Out of the depths have I cried. Have I ever been there? Really been there? Have we ever really, honestly been there? Has the Lord ever in mercy put us there? It's mercy to be there. Jonah was there. He was there. Can you imagine what Jonah felt because of his disobedience? He found in the belly of a whale. Thinking, I'm here because I've disobeyed the Word of God. I mean, that's fear. That's honest, deep fear and worry. The prodigal son was there. And I thought about him. I cannot enter into his case. My father loves me. And he receives me. And he's happy to have me. And I cannot enter into this. But he walked back thinking, he's not going to have me. This man is not going to have me. True rejection. Blind Bartimaeus was there. He was there knowing he's blind, he cannot see, but he hears everybody saying, here he comes. He's coming. He's walking by right now. He's walking by. There he is. And he's knowing right now, the Lord is passing me by. I'm missing Christ right now. I'm missing Him right now. This is my only chance. This is my only hope. And he starts crying, please have mercy on me. Out of the depths he cries, please stop and have mercy on me. He was there. That harlot was there. That prostitute who cried and cried as she held on to purity. And goodness, and holiness, and right. She cried all over the Lord's feet. She washed His feet with her tears, crying, oh God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Our text says, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. The progression of the soul is first a true, a honest, and a deep conviction over sin. And then it is sincere. Sincere. Open. Honest. Prayer to God. I have nothing to hide. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord is prayer.
is prayer.
True, sincere prayer is humble prayer. Humble. It's low. It's not proud, and it's low. Out of the depths. True, sincere prayer is fervent prayer. Have I cried? Have I cried? Have I cried? It means active and continual. Continual. True, sincere prayer is prayer that is directed to the Lord God. It's not directed to Mary. It's not directed to anybody else. Directly to the Lord God. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. I'm crying to you. True prayer is reverent prayer. It's not the flippant Jesus and God prayer of religion. It's reverent prayer. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Verse 2 says, Lord. Verse 3 says, Lord. O Lord. Verse 5 says, Lord. Verse 6 says, Lord. Verse 7 says, Lord. Lord. It's reverent prayer. That leper cried, Lord, if you will. True, sincere prayer is personal prayer. Have I cried? I'm the one who's doing the crying. Hear my voice. Be attentive to my supplications. Even me. The repentant soul experiences true conviction over sin. Sincere prayer, crying out unto God. And the third thing is, personal judgment of myself. Verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I can't. Holy and true are all His ways. Let God be true and every man, starting with me, be a liar. I'm a liar and He is true. The Lord told that woman in Matthew 15, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He said, you are a dog. And she said, truth. You're right. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Turn with me to Psalm 51. David said in Psalm 51, verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. It's before me. I see it. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Me is what he's saying. You're clear and you're justified. When you judge me, I acknowledge it too. That's what it means to judge ourselves. The redeemed soul experiences conviction over sin, sincere prayer unto God, personal judgment of self, and then the mercy and grace of forgiveness. After all that, forgiveness comes. Verse 4 says, but out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Somebody said these two verses contain the whole of the Scripture. The whole meaning of all the Scripture are in these two verses. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou should be feared. The Old Testament had the tabernacle. It had sacrifices and lambs and sacrifices and lambs. And the whole point was to say, there is forgiveness. There's a way of forgiveness. The New Testament sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood and His righteousness. And the whole point is to say, there's forgiveness. The whole book is written to say, there is forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. What do God's people fear? What does the redeemed soul fear? The first thing is missing Christ. I fear missing Christ, missing His mercy. We fear presuming or assuming upon His mercy. It's something we show up for every week to make sure. I need to tell it to me one more time. I got to make sure. We fear adding one thing to or taking one thing from His person or His work. After we finish studying, we're supposed to preach. And I look at this and say, did I add one thing to or take one thing from His person or His work? Not have I gotten, it's what I received. Grace hath bestowed it, and I have believed. It's boasting excluded. Pride I base. What do God's people fear? Departing from His presence. He asked His own disciples, will you go away also? Would I? Keep me, Lord. Keep me. Please, keep me. The progression of the soul is conviction of sin and sincere prayer, judgment of self, forgiveness with thee, and forgiveness brings a very, very tiny, tiny, small amount of patience and a lot of hope. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. I wait for the Lord. I cry unto Him, but I wait. I seek Him, but I wait. I confess my sins and I beg His help and I say, come quickly, Lord. But I wait. And in His word do I hope. While I wait, in His word do I hope. This is His word. He said in John 11, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what I hope in while I wait. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, I will be merciful. We hope in His will. He said, I want to be merciful. I'm so hopeful for that. He said He's able to save to the uttermost. We hope in His power. He's able. And it gives me hope. He said the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. No matter what I do, He is not taking it back. He is not going to change His mind. We hope in His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That is our hope. We hope in His word while we wait. To the redeemed soul, hope brings perseverance. Thanks be to God. That's the soul's next progression, is perseverance. Verse 5 says, I wait. My soul doth wait. Verse 6 says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I wait and I wait. By God's grace, I keep on waiting. Why? Why do we keep waiting? It's because we are kept by the power of God through faith. We hope in His Word. Faith looks to, it trusts in, it hopes in, it waits on Christ. Turn with me to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Paul is thanking the Lord God. Verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I got here 10 years ago, and I thank God for your fellowship from the first day until now. I'm so thankful that I'm still here. I'm so thankful you're still here. It's perseverance. Why are we still here? Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the Lord comes back, He's going to keep performing the work of perseverance in a believer. He's going to keep us. And that's why we keep waiting. We keep going because we're kept. We are preserved. But we persevere. We're preserved, but we persevere. We rest in Christ, but we press toward the mark. We wait as they that watch for the morning. Actively waiting. The morning star is coming. And I wait, but I'm waiting as those that watch for the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. In our progression, hope brings perseverance, and perseverance brings assurance. Verse 7 says in our text, Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Notice it doesn't say, let Israel hope for mercy, although that would be good. It says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with Him there is mercy. I like what Brother Henry said about this verse, and I'm going to quote him word for word. He said, our first thoughts are not for mercy alone, but for Him. And it is, isn't it? We love Him. If I have Him, I have mercy. He said, you look for the tree and you'll find the fruit. You look for the giver and you'll find the gift. You look for the physician and you'll find the cure. You look for the promiser and you will find the promise. Our Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. The saved soul experiences true conviction over sin, sincere prayer unto God, personal judgment of self, then mercy and grace, forgiveness, hope, and a small amount of patience. Perseverance, assurance, and finally the soul experiences redemption of the purchased possession. Verse 8 says, He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He's going to do it. It's going to happen. With the price being paid, he said, I will remember their sin no more. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. But the soul that has no sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all, no sin, is going to live forever with Him, in Him. That those three initials, S-O-S, means save our souls. Oh Lord, save our souls. I pray the Lord will bless His Word.